The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The weekly wrap on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the breakfast huddle with Elliot Danker and Ryan Huang. Unfortunate piece of news last week. I'm sure you're quite shocked to read about it as well. A 16-year-old student from River Valley High School arrested and likely to be charged with murder over the killing of a 13-year-old boy whose body was found in a school bathroom along with an axe. Now, on Tuesday this week, Education Minister Chan Jin Sing came forward to address Parliament on the incident. Now, in the statement he made, Minister Chan outlined how the tragedy unfolded and shared the role that schools, parents, and society in general can play to better support the mental health of the young. Moving forward, how will parents, teachers, and, well, even society change the way they handle mental health issues? As has put enough spotlight on the importance of mental health as well. On the line with me this morning is Dr. Karen Poe, clinical psychologist at Alliance Counseling. Dr. Karen, good morning.
Good morning. Hello, how are you?
I'm very good, Doctor. Thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me about this really unfortunate incident. I mean, when you first saw it last week, and it was during a public holiday, how did you react?
Yeah, I was in shock. I was really sad. And I just felt this, you know, sense of heaviness in my chest as I was reading about the news.
At that point, I mean, we didn't have a lot of details then. Were you suspicious of the potential that it could be a mental health related issue?
Yeah, I think, you know, working in this field, this question is something that often comes up for me. And I think, you know, anyone who is well adjusted wouldn't choose to act like this.
Right. And I understand that there are reports that the suspect had a suicide attempt before. I mean, just touching on this, what are some of the warning signs that we should look out for in an individual, you know, when perhaps their mental health is not well or they're sort of starting to decline mentally? And we are in a time of pandemic, so that likelihood is even higher, right?
Yeah, and I just want to first highlight, and maybe this is something on a lot of people's minds, whether people with mental health issues would be violent. And I want to say that that is often not the case. In fact, people with mental health issues are often the victims. And going back to your question, you know, how can we look out for people to see whether, you know, they are struggling with mental health issues? And I think the first thing is really to look at the presentation or the grooming. So let's say if somebody, you know, has typically been bathing and taking care of themselves, but if they, you know, have this, you know, lack of care for their presentation, they stop bathing, they stop looking after themselves physically, there's a change in their behaviors, so starting to get more withdrawn from others or not engaging in usual activities that they do, and there's a change in their functioning, these are really, really important warning signs to look out for.
Basically, the change in habit is something that's quite important. I do want to ask a question about, so let's say you know of a family, and within that family, you suspect that someone has a mental health issue. So this is a bit of a case study. You want to approach, say, the parent or the siblings to get them to help their family member. But the parent or the sibling turns around and says, no, if they have to go to a psychologist and you know, they end up taking medicine, my answer is no such thing. There's no need to go to a psychologist. What would your advice be to deal with such family members? Because at the end of the day, you mean well.
Yeah, so this is a really tricky situation, and I don't think it's that uncommon to perhaps face it. So I guess we are looking at this question of this entrenched sort of stigma and taboo about mental health issues. And in my practice, it's not uncommon for me to, you know, actually encounter family members who exhibit such attitudes towards mental health struggles and also mental health treatment. So I think at the end of the day, most family members, they do care about their family members who are struggling with mental health issues, and just perhaps checking with them, what is more important? Is it more important to keep the face? I think in our society, having that face is so important, to keep that face, or is the well-being of your family member more important? So just posing that question to them to reflect, what choice would they make then based on their values?
Okay, well, that's a really good point. Let's talk about the River Valley High incident where our Education Minister Chan Chun Sing made a ministerial statement earlier this week in Parliament outlining how the tragedy unfolded, talked about the role that schools, parents and society in general can play to support mental health. What's your take on some of the points he brought up?
And I'm really glad that our Minister Chan Chun Sing is speaking about this tragedy and incident. And I think this is something that the whole Singapore is very shaken by. And we are collectively grieving and wondering what are the next steps that we can take. So one of the points that he brought up is for MOE to plan to recruit or re-roll suitable educators to be counselors. And I think that is coming out from a place of really good intentions, right, to equip teachers with more skills and ability to manage such issues. And having spoken to some of my peers who are teachers, I do have a worry when we sort of set out to do this, because right now, even pre-COVID, teachers are very burdened already. In fact, a lot of my clients that I see in my practice are teachers, unfortunately. So teachers are very burdened to wear many different hats. And my fear, and teachers, their fear, I'm guessing, is that they have to also wear this new hat as well and perhaps have this responsibility and burden of looking out for students with mental health issues. And this is perhaps going to affect the teachers too, because they are not specifically trained to be a counselor or the therapist. They're trained to be teachers, to be educators. So my hope is that as we look at ways to support our young people, our youth and our students, is to build a more robust mental health system and ecosystem to support the capacity. So not only looking at supporting students, but also supporting teachers as well, and the leadership in the school as well as parents to do this. Because when we talk about supporting students, we tend to just look at maybe tabbing on existing resources like teachers. But I'm guessing most teachers are really stretched now. It has been a very difficult period with the pandemic.
Sure. And it doesn't help that Singapore is already such a stressful place, right? You want to get ahead. You want to, you know, I know people who would rent a home in Orchard Road just to be in the proximity of getting into a good school. And you have this thing called KPI, and that's not fair on the teacher as well. I made a comment while talking to some friends. They obviously were very quick and I think naturally very quick to blame the pressure of the education system. And I said, we need to look at the friends of this 16-year-old boy and the parents as well. Is it fair to say that we need to look at the home setup and the kind of environment that's been provided for this kid, the pressure perhaps that's been put on this kid?
So I think naturally a lot of us would start to speculate. So what is the factor that actually triggered him to make such devastating act? So my opinion is that there are so many, you know, variables and so many factors that interact. So it can be the home setting, it can be the school, it can be the pressure from the society, it can be his own expectations. And all of this, you know, would interact to result in this.
It's quite unfortunate. Students returned to school 2 days after the incident. Doctor, could I get your take on this? Do you think it was too soon or perhaps just nice so that you don't allow that lingering fear or fear to return to school to build up and face the issue?
Yeah, so I think it's important not to allow that fear to fester, but it's also really helpful for the students to be with their naturalized support system in school, right, with their peers and teachers, and also to collectively process their feelings so that they are not alone in feeling this way, not alone in struggling with their feelings after this tragedy has happened. And I'm guessing, you know, if the school suddenly says that everyone just has to stay at home, parents might also start to panic and struggle because they might be working, they might not have the time and also the skills to know how to speak to their children in regulating their feelings and processing their feelings after something like this has happened. And we know that many adolescents, most adolescents, they prefer to confide in their peers rather than their parents. Allowing them to go back to school to speak to their peers can be really helpful to regulate their emotions.
Right. Just to quickly wrap up, Doctor, and I want to try and end on a positive note with regard to the school. I mean, there are a lot of learning points and no one can be that perfect in managing mental health. But what is your take on what the school's doing right? I mean, they had the run, hide and tell system. That's a sign that there is some framework in place, right?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the school has handled this unprecedented tragedy in a very sensitive and compassionate way. And also, you know, they have put in place this framework to protect the students as well in times of such accidents or even attacks, right?
Yeah.
So this run, hide, tell is definitely a sign that the school system has done something right to equip students with certain skills and also ways to handle such a situation. There's a motto that Singapore holds, which is it's not if but when.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that
that's so true.
Happen. Yeah, absolutely. So students in this incident, they knew to actually run, hide and tell their teachers. It shows that the drill or the framework that the school has used to teach the students really, really has been effective.
All right. I've been speaking with Dr. Karen Poe, who's clinical psychologist at Alliance Counseling. Dr. Karen, appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.